find yourself in the Beachview area of Pittsburgh, check out the official pizza of this show, Slice on Broadway, sharing an abnormal obsession with pizza we can relate to. Check them out at sliceonbroadway.com and tell them this show sings. But I ain't starving yet. Chain for the pain, cocktail bar set. Never said I was a gangster or thug, but I'm an animal. Peanut for the taste of the floor. Hey guys, welcome back. It's the Indie Mayhem Show, episode 56. We got a special one for you here this week. Mike Sorg at Sorgatron, the Twitter, broadcasting live from Mayhem Studios in Pittsburgh, PA. Do a little bit of video production here around town for some of the groups in a little bit over in Ohio. We've been around. We've been doing some stuff, some documentary work, PittsburghWrestling.com if you want to check any of that out. And, of course, with me is my compatriot in the indie wrestling scene, fellow podcaster and announcer, ringside announcer, commentator down at Inspire Pro Wrestling in the Texas area. Yeah, it's a big area. I know. I keep doing that. You know,
you're not wrong.
It's its own freaking country down there. Let's be honest here. Eamon Payton at Eamon to Please on the Twitters. How are you doing this week, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, Sark. There's some big things coming up in the indie wrestling world, at least for me, at least. But I'm sure all around that I'm sure we'll talk to. And I know we got a great interview on hand as well.
Yes,
so
we do.
I think it'll be a good show.
All great interviews. Let's be honest.
let's knock all the 55 other people that have been on our show before.
No. Hey, Dabrowski's been on twice. Forget him. Anyways, hey, little disclaimer. We did have a little. I did get a little bit of an indie wrestling rant on the Wrestling Mayhem Show this week, episode 456. If you want to get into some of that during some of the email segment, yeah, we got a little ranty. I can't remember. I go into a blind rage like I do sometimes. I can't remember what it was about. If you want to check out some of that extended conversation here, let me know if I get back into the rage during this show on this one, Eamon. But anyways, this is the Indie Mayhem Show. We're at WrestlingMayhemShow.com where you can find this and so many other great, fine podcasts talking about professional wrestling. And you can subscribe to many of the shows, including this, on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Spreaker, iHeartRadio. You can also drop us a line, your thoughts on indie wrestling, on questions for people we have coming up on the show. Who should we get on the show? Let us know. 412-206-WMS0 is the hotline. You can leave us a voicemail or drop us a line to goodtimes@wrestlingmayhemshow.com. Big thanks intro by Basic Sickness at basicsickness.com. You can get free music and videos right over there. And of course, follow Wrestling Mayhem Show on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Mayhem Show on Twitter. And join us live, live.sorgatronmedia.com, Tuesday nights, around 11 p.m. Eastern time. You can join us in the chat room and ask your questions live there as well. With us tonight, great guest. He's been here with us with the IWC for, I think, well over a year. My memory's always fuzzy on these kinds of things. You may know him, if you're not in the area, you may know him from a little run, something called ECW, I think you might have heard of, that was on TV for a little bit. Colin Delaney, the extremely cute wrestler, is joining us tonight. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. You had so many things in that intro that I wanted to touch on, and I've lost most of them. Mostly, though, I wanted to touch on, yes, please send them suggestions for guests so they don't have to have Joe Dombrowski on a third time.
Oh,
well, yeah, let's be honest here. Yeah. but Joe's great. Joe knows so much, and hey, he's a professional talker, so it's easy. It's like a night off for us.
I know. I just you said with Dombrowski twice, so I was like, ooh, man. And I wanted to rip Dombrowski a little bit.
Yeah, of course. Hey, you've been on the mic with Dabrowski a little bit, doing commentary with IWC. I know I've witnessed.
Yes, I love doing commentary. Also, I'm sure Dabrowski's already tweeted at me about me shit talking him right now. But yeah, no, I love commentary. I actually broke into the wrestling business as a 14, 15 year old color commentator.
Oh, jeez. Mm. So you guys share that passion. That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I've had my days doing commentary over at Chikara Pro back in the day, and I did an entire 2CWI pay-per-view not too long ago. So I got some commentary cred. It's actually one of my favorite things to do. If I wasn't wrestling, I would definitely take up the commentating thing.
Awesome, awesome. Well, let's get so obviously you started at a young age in the business in some capacity here. We like to take a look back and say, you know, what got you into it? What is your earliest memory of experiencing of viewing even professional wrestling? What got you into the checking out the biz in the first place?
Well, I am 28 years old, so when I was a kid, wrestling was still on Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching wrestling Saturday afternoon after cartoons, even before I could read. I remember my older brother having to read the names on the screen and tell me who's on and what's going on. And I mean, I've watched wrestling for as long as I can remember. I remember the first Monday Night Raw and begging my parents to let me stay up a little bit later that night so I could watch Monday Night Raw.
Nice. And did that just transition into, did you find the local indie or, you know, how did that kind of move over?
No, I mean, yeah, I guess eventually I found a local indie. I found a local indie around 1999, 2000, and it was called New Millennium Wrestling. I'm sure there was 100 of those around the year 2000. but the main event on the first one was Reckless Youth against Don Montoya, so... sweet old school indie card match that probably happened everywhere.
Reckless Youth comes up a lot in the old indie conversation. Unfortunately, I didn't get into indies myself until probably about 2007, so I missed, I think, probably a lot of that.
Yeah, no, and I mean, at that point, like I said, we're talking like 99, 2000, so I was still like, you know, I was a kid, but I never wanted to be anything but a professional wrestler my entire life. So even at like 13, 12 years old, I was helping out with the ring, you know, setting up, taking down rings.
So like transitioning from like going in from a young age to sort of training, obviously starting very young as you did that just sort of come naturally as far as, you know, actually going to a school and getting in the ring and training?
Yeah, my parents wouldn't let me start until I was 16. But I mean, that's I thought it was fair, I guess. I was still working with all the local independent places around pretty much from an earlier age. Because like I said, I commentated. I would do ring announcing. I would do whatever I could to be involved. I mean, I hopped in the car with guys and would travel 3 hours just to go to the show to, you know, do whatever I could. So I started training at around 16 years old, found a local wrestling school, and it's actually the same school that I teach at now.
Awesome. And like going through like, I guess the bumps and the actual training, I mean, obviously it's a difficult thing to get into, but did you sort of feel the effects of that sort of very early on?
I don't know. I think I caught on a bit quicker than others because I was around it so much. I found, you know, I was a bit of a quicker learner than everyone else because, like I said, I was on the road with these guys. I would watch what they did. I'd watch them train. You know, even before I started training or going to independent shows, I had my backyard wrestling phase. I mean, Luke Harper was in my backyard wrestling, whatever you would call it. So, I mean, me and him came up together, and he's quite a bit older than me. I like to make reference to him being old as much as I can. So I watched him go through a lot of it, and I watched him take the bumps first, and him do a lot of the moves first, and him learn how to do a bunch of things first. So I naturally picked it up a bit quicker when I started.
Nice. That's been that's like the backyard to the stars right there.
Yeah, I don't know. Other than like the Hardys and that North Carolina backyard wrestling group coming up into you know, TV and such, I think me and Big Brody got it covered.
Were you guys kind of in that area? It seems like it, you were kind of in that era, kind of inspired by the Mick Foley kind of backyard tape that was a part of WWE around then?
Yeah, but we were like goofy backyard. Okay. We weren't hitting each other with light tubes. We weren't going through tables. We were kind of like, I don't know. We were goofier. We would slam each other onto cardboard boxes, like, really lightly because we didn't want to hurt each other or hit each other with, the, I don't know, foam pool noodles. You know, we weren't not that hard. Definitely not the best of backyard tapes that were going around when I was younger.
Right, right, certainly. Not the Macross stuff, right? There's another backyard guy, actually.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, certainly.
We were very safe, very careful, and very just like, we loved wrestling and we had fun.
That's awesome. That's what matters. Kind of moving on a little bit. You mentioned Chikara and stuff like that. Actually, my first encounter with you, not that I ever expect you to remember this, but was Fanclave and Chikara, King of Trios, 1 year. I remember there was a Chikara Yoki. You seem to be into the karaoke, I have to point out.
I do love me some karaoke.
I think at one time you were climbing over the chairs and climbed over me to in your performance. But
yeah, I mean, I do believe all of that to be very much so true.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? 08?
I feel like it was 09.
Could have been 09. Yeah. It's right around then.
Yeah. Also, Turtle Wiener beating me in Connect Four was interesting too.
I would never admit that to anybody as long as I live.
I think he cheated. I'm pretty sure he cheated. I got him back. I got him
he
back.
He had to have.
It was, and he had that. He had the puppet at the time too, and I think the puppet was actually playing. So, but no, that was a good time. So, I mean, what was that like working with Chikara? I mean, we kind of talk about Chikara a lot on the show as being the one of the most interesting, most creative, most alternative kind of groups out there, you know, and you seem to fit in very well with that.
Sure, I enjoyed a lot of my time at Chikara. It was where me and Jimmy. My old partner, Jimmy Olsen, we were the Olsen twins. It was where we first really got noticed a bit,
mm-hmm.
Where we first kind of got out there. So we had a great time. And, I mean, back then it had an amazing roster of people from all over the place. A lot of great talent coming in from Canada, like the Super Smash Brothers were on all the time. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, like, we were coming down with Cloudy and Cheech and Brody, and Hero was still there, and Claudio and Sweeney, and a very eclectic roster, a very cool roster. Nowadays, I feel like it's a bit more in-house than it was back then. I don't know. I tried to watch the Chikara show semi-recently.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't... I don't know. I had fun while I was doing it, but watching it back, it's not necessarily for me.
Interesting. So it's not your kind of product.
No. And it was at a time. Back when I did it, it's a lot different. And it evolved. Even as I was there, I could see it evolving and changing. I mean, we had a lot more freedom back when I first started there.
Mm-hmm.
They would just be, you know, we'd have to do a quick promo segment and then we'd have a match. But I mean, towards the end, the sheet would have the promo pretty written out and pretty scripted, and the match would have, instead of just like bullet points or what you want to get across, it would have a very, like sometimes like two or three paragraphs of what needed to be in there. So, I feel like when we first started there, the fun was more natural, and then later on it became less fun because it was kind of planned fun. It wasn't us having fun. It was planned fun.
Mm-hmm. A little less spontaneous.
What's that?
A little less spontaneous then.
Yeah, and we had a little bit more control over the fun and over what we wanted to do, as opposed to one person's idea of fun.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. And of course, as everybody knows, I think we're kind of in the right time period here. Everybody knows your run, and we referenced, of course, recently with IWC and your match with Tommy Dreamer, I want to get to in a little bit. You had your time with WWE, the ECW brand at the time, and for however long that was. What was it like returning to the indies at that point?
I don't know. It was interesting. I wasn't gone that long,
mm-hmm.
is the thing. So it's not like, I don't know, it wasn't much of a return to the indies. I was only gone 8 months-ish. So it wasn't too big a jump for me. I enjoyed it. I was definitely not in fighting indie wrestling shape when I left WWE, because I don't think I wrestled a match more than 3 minutes up there.
I guess, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's fine. No, I was just going to say the transition was, I remember my first indie match back, and I was like, oh my God, how did I do this?
And looking up some stuff, I did see you did take on the Great Khali, and I have to ask this for a co-host on the Wrestling Mayhem show. How is the Great Khali?
How is the Great Khali? He's a very nice gentleman. He used to have a wonderful joke with me where he would say, "You Khalin, me Khali." So, thought that was very amusing. And I thought it was amusing too, but no, he's enormous, and he can't help but be enormous. So he definitely literally knocked me out with the side of his hand.
Wow.
Yeah, that match opens up with him just teeing off on the top of my head with the side of his hand. But what you don't realize is that his hand probably weighs about as much as a toaster oven. So. Him, a 7'4" human, swinging a toaster oven at your head is probably going to put you out, especially if you're 5'10", 160 pounds.
We're playing the match back on the video version, and we're just like watching you stare at him.
Yeah, stare eye to nipple with him.
we're actually right at that point right now.
Yep. As the Great Khali's sweat is beating up into my mouth.
You're calling this exactly as we're showing it. That's amazing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, let's bring that up to, of course, you know, just a few weeks ago, there was IWC's Reloaded, new owner of there, Justin Plummer. You had a match. Was this your first match back with Tommy Dreamer since WWE?
It is. It is. So I guess that's 7 years in the making or something like that. Yeah, no, it's the only time we've wrestled since WWE, since my last match in WWE, which was also an Extreme Rules match with Tommy Dreamer.
Nice. I mean, how was it reconnecting with him? I mean, obviously it's been a few years. You've had to have learned so much since, and to get in there with such a great legend like him.
Yeah, we've seen each other a handful of times, so it's always great to see him. But I really wanted to show him how much I've progressed and how much I have learned. It was one of those things, like, I don't know, I've been doing this 12 years now, and I don't often get really nervous, but I was really, like, very kind of nervous about this one, because I really wanted to show what I've learned. He's, a bit of a mentor and a father to me, you know? It wasn't just a TV angle. He was a... He took care of me while I was up there.
And of course, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, kind of still touching on IWC a moment here. I thought you've been doing some really fun stuff over the last year. More local guy, Keith Hott. You guys were the tag team of Hot and Cute. It's been a lot of fun doing tag team champ, being tag team champs here in the area with IWC. What was it like working with Keith?
I love Keith. I will always love Keith. He's, I remember when they first paired me up with him. I don't think he was exactly what they were looking for at the time when they were going to team me up with somebody. But, when I saw him and when I, you know, saw what he could do and saw how, just everything that Keith is, I was excited about it. And I always had a great time working with Keith. It was a, you know, look at him. Is there possibly a picture of him going out on right now?
Yes, there is right now. Actually, your stare down from when the Hot and Cute exploded a couple months ago at Winter Takes All.
He's adorable.
And he's a hugger. He's a legitimate hugger.
It's tough to say anything else about him other than that he's adorable. Mm-hmm. And, like I said on there, I said in promos on Keith for IWC and after we broke up and... either way, I will always love Keith.
Yeah. He's for those who don't know, Keith is he's a shorter guy and he's a little rotund, but I mean he doesn't move like he is. You know,
he looks like the real life version of Paddington Bear.
And he wears the bear hat too, so it really kind of fits, doesn't it? So
I know that movie is out right now. There's a movie of it, a kids movie. He needs to capitalize on that quick.
There you go. Oh, he get the yellow hat on top of his bear hat and do that. I mean, he has some, because I know he does some other stuff in the area too, where he's doing a jester character and everything. But yeah,
he needs a blue raincoat and he needs a yellow like rain hat.
And still do the dance. Still completely do the dance.
It's fine. I think it would be wonderful.
Nice. Of course, a lot of stuff coming up. You got that. Tommy Dreamer, of course, is IWC champ here locally. Got to mention that. Same night, he was kind of the surprise entrant after the... because there was a very random randomizer kind of thing going on for the show, for the kind of reboot of IWC under the new ownership. We got Night of the Superstars coming up, and I know you're on promos talking about you should be in a running for that, and I think it could be really interesting for that. I don't know. What do you expect? You think you're going to get that shot in Meadville?
I don't know. I would hope so. I'm the Owen Hart of this situation, though, it seems.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I beat Bret Hart early in the card, and then he goes on to win the title. This, I would hope that IWC is smarter than 90s WWF, and I would be the one to get the shot.
Certainly. That's interesting. They also, in my mind, putting Tommy Dreamer as Bret Hart in general.
Does that make RJ City Yokozuna?
He'd be Yoko. No, because he. So actually, I think Dalton would be Yoko, and that
and
would
RJ's
make
Luger.
That would make RJ's Luger now. No, that doesn't make. Hold on.
RJ's more of a Paul Roma in my head.
Yeah, it works a little.
Again, dead on accurate.
That all works. That all works for me. Eamon, I think you've got the next question here.
I kind of want to talk about, because I think one of the big things, especially from your run after your time in the WWE, that people like to sort of bring up a lot is your transformation in general. It's, amazing sort of looking at you in the start of your career and how you look now and how, the shape that you're in and the style that you work now and stuff like that. How has that transformation sort of been, from, becoming who you are now as a wrestler?
I tell people a lot, because people say, wow, I didn't recognize you. Wow, you look different. Well, I was a kid back then, so it's a bit different. I mean, I think I just grew up as a man and as a person. I don't know a whole lot of people who look the same at 20 as they do, approaching 30, and I would hope that I don't either, but also in wrestling, I feel like wrestling changes almost daily, at least monthly or yearly. What's good and what works, it changes all the time in wrestling, and you always have to be ready to adapt and get with what's working now. So I feel like I've done a pretty okay job so far keeping with it or ahead of it or on par with it, and I think that's a lot of it, trying to keep with what's current and what's working, and 160-pound me in bandages isn't working anymore.
That only has so much of a shelf life.
Yeah, no, and it hurts being wrapped in those bandages. They used to bandage me up so tight I could barely breathe. I remember when I wrestled Miz and Morrison in a handicap match. I think it was the last time I was real bandaged. But I had an arm bandage. I had a shoulder bandage. I had my ribs taped. I think I had my head taped, too. But the medical staff there does a bang-up job taping, but that does not leave much room to breathe.
Mm.
So I got in the ring, and I just remember I couldn't wait to get it off.
I'm trying to recall. Were you pretty much bandaged through the end? You actually did do kind of a heel turn towards the end on Tommy, if I recall, right?
Yeah, my continuity there is real weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I was not all the time. I did the bandage thing, and then me and Tommy started a team, and then we feuded with Miz and Morrison, and then they went back to me kind of getting beat up by big guys and trying to get a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And then I turned on Tommy and went with Mark Henry So it like, and all this happened in 8 months.
Wow. No slow burn there.
No. It was just one thing to the next thing to the next thing. Like I had like a 4 year long career in like 8 months.
Yeah. That's a lot of development. It always was, not that you were really had a hand in a lot of the other TV going on at the time, but ECW like really seemed like this weird experimental program that I guess is what we're supposed to have gotten with the NXT now. Did it feel like, I don't know how to put this because I'm trying to remember exactly when you were there versus how things happened down there. Did it feel like it was kind of like that they knew where they were going with stuff, or was it kind of different week to week?
I definitely don't feel like they knew where they were going with me, really, but how could they? I don't think they anticipated me coming on the scene and being a thing really whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know. I don't think they thought, hey, we're going to find some kid off the street who's going to be a focal point of our programming for 8 months. So I don't really think they could have had a plan necessarily completely on a lot of things. I don't remember where I was going with that, but yeah, as far as my end, I don't think they really could have had a plan. But I was there when it was like ECW. They had already done most of the ECW originals were kind of gone. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of its own program, like you were saying, kind of like what NXT is now, developing guys like Kofi Kingston. I mean, Kofi debuted the same night, and Evan Bourne debuted on ECW, and wow. You know, Punk was a big. His breaking out was really on that ECW show, and a lot of guys. So, yeah, I guess it was kind of early what they're doing at NXT now.
Certainly. Hey, I got a message before this interview. I have to share.
Great.
Is from Jock Sampson. I think you're familiar with him. He says, "Tell Delaney I'm going to dick punch him."
That's it.
That's it. He's a man of few words that mean a lot. And I think that was his version.
No. Jock is a man of a lot of words if you let him talk. He'll, just as we were just talking about it, Jock did a scaffold match this weekend.
Right. I saw the video last night, and he's insane.
He's a nut. And the night before, I was on a show with him in Dayton where he was in a 5-on-5 barbed wire board match. And while we're there, he's telling me about, oh, man, this is crazy. Barbed wire. What is this barbed wire? I've also seen Jock Sampson go through flaming tables. So he's all over the board.
This man has kicked my videographer at ringside in the dick.
I believe it.
Live at a show on his birthday. It's on YouTube. Yeah.
My question is out of all those scenarios, is it any more crazy than Jock Sampson wrestling Buff Bagwell in a singles match?
Oh, I mean, some of the matches that I've seen Jock Sampson in, like him and Tracy Smothers against Colt Cabana and Cliff Compton.
Oh, jeez.
What a crazy just a semblance of people.
Wow. They'd be lucky if they can come back to that venue after that.
No, I'm pretty sure the venue burned to the ground immediately afterwards. We're pretty close.
Wow. And we're showing footage for the guys on the video of the there's a video floating around of Jock Sampson gets thrown off the scaffold at War 12 from this past weekend. Already over 400 views. Crazy. And
for an old school guy who does a hip toss to the finish, I've seen that man do crazy shit.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those guys that comes out. He comes out with a bull rope, and you're like, oh, this is like old Dick Murdoch wrestling or something, right? Classic, redneck guy and stuff. But then he takes it to the next level. You know, he's not just mimicking guys like that, it seems.
No, God, no. Like I said, we were watching a thing of him on a scaffold. There was barbed wire boards, and I've seen him go through fire. So he'll do whatever, man.
Yeah. So okay. So he had this call out for you. I think you guys are facing each other here in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, first time ever we've ever wrestled each other is going to be coming up in March in Rochester, New York, here for Upstate Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And that one should be, I don't know, one for the ages, I guess. I mean, I'm a big fan of Jack. I always have been a big fan of Jack since I first met him, and he called me nothing but Eric Embry.
What?
We do resemble each other slightly.
Okay. Wow. Jock Sampson. Yeah, he was a early guest for us, and it's still one of the most controversial we've had on the show.
I believe it. I did for AIW, they had like a dating game thing. Mm-hmm. And I was on a panel, and it was me, Jock Sampson, and I can't even remember the third. It might have been Tim Donst. But, I don't know, maybe it was ACH. I don't know. But either way, Jock Sampson's answers for this dating game were the craziest stuff I've ever heard in my entire life.
Wow. Amazing. Eamon, you got any more questions here before we go to our finisher?
Well, I didn't have anything particularly. I got a lot of answers just out of that last one. I guess it's a good way to get to our kind of.
I guess so. Actually, I just remember we have an extra question we're going to start rolling into this. So we mentioned, unfortunately, a lot of guys, when we talk to them on these shows in the indies, are like, oh, I can't watch Raw. And when a lot of us as fans are the same way, too, right? But one question is, Colin, what are you watching in wrestling these days? Like, what's really you're kind of digging? Indies, mainstream, whatever.
Oh, man. I try to watch, in an average week, I try to watch a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. I've, in fact, on Twitter, been watching a match a day and, like, writing a little something about it. So today, for example, I watched Owen Hart against Vader from One Night Only, 97.
Oh, wow. Nice.
But, I mean, a couple weeks ago, I watched, Finley against Alex Wright's dad, Steve Wright, from Germany in the 90s. I like to watch... I watched a good Dr. Death Steve Williams against Scott Norton match recently from like 2000. So I watch whatever. What I watch is all over the boards. I like to watch indies. I like to watch my PWGs mm-hmm. and such. Who doesn't? But I watch Ring of Honor. I do watch NXT. It's the WWE programming that I do make sure to try and tune into. Mm-hmm. 3 hours is just too long for my attention span. I won't lie about it. And it's not that necessarily I think it's bad, because I can't say that, because I just don't have the attention span to try and sit through 3 hours.
Nice.
I watch New Japan or CMLL or, stuff that I grew up on. I try to keep active and watch a little bit of everything.
Wow, I'm pulling up on your Twitter feed here this old Fit Finley versus Steve Wright match. Wow, I love the concept. So it's hashtag match a day that you're doing over here?
Yeah, I missed a couple days because I was out of town in the middle there, but I'm going to try and do more. That Steve Wright against Fit Finley match is crazy.
Well, yeah, I just saw a headstand.
Yeah.
And probably the coolest hip toss I've ever seen in pro wrestling.
Yeah, a crazy handstand into a front handspring. And then he grabs an arm bar and throws like an arm bar style hip toss. It's great.
Wow.
In the match, my favorite part of the whole match, Steve Wright leapfrogs hands on his shoulders, leapfrogs over the referee to get back at Finley.
Nice.
So is this a preview of your next match with Tommy Dreamer?
Yeah, probably. Hey, everybody, don't watch that match, because I'm going to do all that stuff in a match with Tommy Dreamer someday. So you're not going to want to watch that one, because then mine's going to be very unexciting.
definitely. Awesome. Well, and of course, the usual ender question we have is, by the way, the thanks to Matt Carlins actually came up with that question to put in the rotation there. So, what is the best and worst thing about working the indies over the years, Colin?
Oh, the best and worst thing about working for the indies. Oh, I don't know. I guess the worst part is sometimes having to get in a car for longer than you were even at a show. That was always the worst. Your body's just not meant to do that. like driving 6 hours to a show, you're only at the venue for, you know, 3-4 hours, and then you get back in your car and drive the 6 hours back.
You know, mm-hmm. I always thought about that. I was watching, I was actually watching one of the other local indies here in the area, and seeing somebody come out and do like a 3-minute match and realize they came from like Cleveland or Buffalo or something, you know, a couple states away to do a 3-minute match, more or less.
It's crazy when you really think about it. And after doing that, even if like you had a longer match, that's even worse because your body takes all that punishment and whatnot, and you know, stuff that your body's not used to doing and your body's not supposed to do on a regular basis. And then getting into a 5-seat car with 4 people and just have your body cramped up and compact mm-hmm. after what you just did to it is sometimes a bit nuts. So that would be the worst.
Wow.
And I don't know. I love wrestling, and I love indie wrestling. The best is just getting to do it every night and you know, being healthy enough to do it the next night and the night after that and the night after that and the night after that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let people know. I know, of course, you're going to be here with the IWC. They were just announcing matches, I think, tonight here on their Facebook page. I see you're going to be in a 3-way with Alex Daniels and Dravico. Alex Daniels, I just saw at VOW over the weekend. I know I've seen him a couple other places. Really, really cool talent out there. And Dravico is just a deformed Power Ranger, and it's everything you would imagine.
Yeah, Alex Daniels, I believe, is a Gargano trainee, Gargano trainee.
That makes sense.
And Dravico is an IWC school graduate. I've worked with both of them on a... not in a wrestling sense before, but on the shows and helping them out with matches before. So it'll be interesting to tie one up with the two of them.
Awesome. Where else are you going to be?
Oh, man. Everywhere. I don't know. I got next Friday, I'll be in Cleveland, Ohio for AIW, Absolute Slam, and Four-Way Tag. Kiri and BJ. Me teaming with Cheech of the team of To Infinity and Beyond. That's us. So that'll be a good... That's stacked load. It's going to be great. It's got Kurt Hawkins against Cliff Compton.
Wow. Wow. AIW always has crazy cards up there.
AIW has Dennis Stamp on that card. Dennis Stamp will be there.
He is booked.
He has been
booked. So I got
happened.
That. I'm supposed to be doing Juggalo Day the day after that in Detroit.
Oh, nice.
I think that's sold out already.
That's right.
If you don't have tickets, you're SOL. And then the weekend after that, I'll be Providence, Rhode Island for Beyond Wrestling. So
Nice. That's right. I did see you at the gathering, didn't I?
Yep.
That's right.
You sure did. That's the craziest thing I ever done in my entire
life. How is it wrestling at 3 a.m?
It's crazy. I remember, not to spoil anything, but I did do a kaiju show.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So I'm in a large costume.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting ready to go out, and somebody offers me Molly. And I'm like, I'm in most of a giant foam outfit getting ready to get in the ring with a can of soup and a half raccoon. I don't remember what that thing is. But no. No.
Wow. Wow. It's crazy enough. I mean, I saw fans being fed Boogeyman's worms on the final night. I mean, that's...
Jesus.
Yeah. And I think Dreamer's, I forget who Dreamer took on, but he was the main event the final night of Bloody Mania, and it was like I'm like it's like 4:30, the sun's coming up soon. When are we getting what? I have to go to my hotel.
No, it's great.
It's
love
awesome.
The gathering. I hope I get to do it again this year because it was so much fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you've never experienced a gathering of the Juggalos in your life. You need to. This is for everybody. Everybody out there. You, at least one time in your life, need to experience the Gathering of the Juggalos.
That's what happened. I took two girls with me that had never been to even an ICP show before. And me, a long-time ICP fan, did a website for the longest time. It was an experience, definitely an experience. So,
Borg, man, I wouldn't have taken you for a big juggalo.
Oh, the biggest man.
My favorite one is I rode down with Pepper Parks. Turns out Pepper Parks huge juggalo.
Oh wow.
Me out.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't have pointed him out as one.
No, we were trying to go just like roam around.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, you guys go roam around. I'm gonna watch these shows. He knew like every act.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's awesome. That's all. Hey, it's nothing like being covered in Faygo while there's a thunderstorm going on above you.
There's literally nothing like it in the world.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Great experience. Great. The best. That's my religious experience right there. Was doing that. So awesome. So Colin Delaney at Extremely Cute on the Twitters, not on Facebook, as we learned. You'll get a Wikipedia picture that we're using tonight on the video.
yeah. Facebook's overrated. I got a Twitter at Extremely Cute. I do a little match a day thing on there. Sometimes I put up some Instagram pictures, but usually that's the way you can figure out where I'm going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Or you can call me. My home number is.
Anyways, thank you very much, Colin, for coming on. Always good to see you at the shows at IWC and talking with you, of course. And now I have your theme music on my computer.
Which theme music?
I don't know. Whatever you used up in Clearfield that one time when we were trying to get
perfect.
It off of your email. So, but yeah, before you went evil calling on us up there. So
I went to a show recently and they said, what theme music do you want? We have your WWE theme music and your Ring of Honor theme music. And I said, neither.
Awesome. Go check them out. And in the meantime, Eamon, we got so much indie wrestling to talk about.
Absolutely, Sorg. There's a lot of stuff going on in the indie wrestling world. You know, you mentioned it earlier. We got into a bit of discussion on the Mayhem show, very brief discussion. That concerned the indie wrestling world. I kind of wanted to maybe get into a bit more, dive in deeper.
This is where I get concerned, because I know I get a little ranty about some of these things, and they're like, "Oh, who the hell is this guy? You know, he's not a wrestler." I'm not a wrestler.
You are in production.
But I am in production.
Deal with your medium.
I've been doing this for a while. I like to think. I don't. I mean, you know, in some.
And even like. This also comes from a consumer point of view too. I mean,
right. Wait. Okay. Here's so are we which rant, which part of the rant are we going off on? Lead me into this.
Okay, so we kind of got into a discussion during the Mayhem show about it started about vignettes, talking about our favorite vignettes.
One of the great questions by Dustin, who writes in regularly with the show and usually kills half the time on our show because of his wonderful questions that we just go off on.
But so talking about how, you know, doing different things, really aids. And one of the things you mentioned was Enzo Amore and Big Cass on NXT doing like the iPhone promos where they're like on location and stuff like that. And we sort of got into a discussion about promos and that kind of stuff and doing things that are different and not everything that you post online has to be a 3-4-5 minute promo about you talking about your opponent and your upcoming match or whatever. Mm-hmm. It can be, you know, something, and it could be something that holds people's attention. I think people don't take that into account sometimes. Is that
right.
They, you know, it's about holding their attention.
Right. And there's so basically for me, I mean, I'm thinking not even from a wrestling aspect. I'm more thinking, like I said, kind of consumer, but like to get an outside wrestling perspective, I've taken a few projects over my time as a video editor, and people think, oh, he works for himself, whatever, he's a fucking noob, whatever. But no, I have done professionally video editing for a company for 6 years before I struck out on my own. You know, I understand that. I've dealt with crap and turned it into a nice shiny piece of video. It's a very unexciting video because of some of the content, unfortunately, but, it's not like I kind of came up, bought a camera and decided I'm going to film pro wrestling, you know?
Right.
I've been doing this since I was a teenager, and have been, I make my living off of this. So timing, for instance, not just timing and switching and you know, because we live switch. I don't post edit anything for the most part, unless there's a show that I can't get to because of a double booking, which I think I have two this year potentially. Usually it's like four or five, but so we look at the promos. You know, I sat there. I'd like to talk more about. We talked about Vicious Outcast Wrestling. We talk about a lot on the show. First live show I've been to since May. I caught a little show they did in Jeanette. That was the all women show. I'm really impressed with their presentation. They got this video screen. I actually got just a message about, you know, what some of the software they use for that. And I'd love to integrate that into what we're doing with IWC a little bit. And maybe some other projects outside of wrestling, to be honest. Wouldn't it be great if I have a Titantron for you guys coming on the podcast behind me? No. You know, I'm sitting there, and even like at IWC, we had this promo, which was, I thought was great as far as like a promo that was on the web. A little long, but it caught my attention because of the content. Crimson does a great, great thing, I think. We played that in front of the live crowd on the video screen at the last IWC show. Because they're like, well, we got to get that out there so people, he's going to show up here. They got to know that this is in the air. This is something that could be happening, girls, you know, people that don't know, you know. So I get that. But even like halfway through it, I heard somebody in the crowd yelling, why are we watching this now? You know, kind of thing. Or, you know, like, I'm like, you know, I'm thinking the same thing. Like, it feels long there. Even the little video things, like, it was like I remember just turning to Justin and be like, this should have been half the length. Because it's just doing the kind of lottery random thing like the old Raw draft, right? And it was like, you could cut that in half, you know, because it was 30 seconds total, right? And that the reveal happens at 20. 20 seconds is forever. There are some people that will say, let the entire minute and a half of a Metallica intro go before they come out the curtain. Fucking kill me, man. You fucking kill me. I hate swearing on this show, but
as someone who has to like put together people's music, intros are, we're cool with swearing, right? Intros are a bitch.
I just dropped the F-bomb like nothing, and I try not to. I apologize. I try to keep this show a little clean, but I'm really.
I had a wrestler actually at our last Inspire show. Like, I sort of researched people's music just so I have everything prepared.
Yeah,
and I basically told them, like, hey, I just want to come make sure that this was your song. And they're like, yeah, but make sure to cut, like, start it at a certain point or whatever. I was like, yeah, I listened to it. Like, I cut it at a certain point so it wasn't, like, a long intro.
Or any other thing. Can I do a side thing on that? There's – I mean, it really works for an intro. This is Generation Dead. They come out to this music at RWA. And there's, like, this talking that happens, like radio chatter talking thing to go into it. Which is really cool when they come out and you're anticipating, and it's only a sliver, I feel, too long, but it kind of fits and sets up the atmosphere, especially with what we do with them visually on top of what they're already doing amazing stuff, of course. But when they've just won this dramatic match, da-da-da-da-da, and we hit the music, and they're just talking for 10 seconds before we hit the boom, you know, the good music. Like, you need to... I hate to call us out, but but Wheels, I was going to have this conversation with you, but now I am. Have, you know, WWE doesn't have the full intro thing if there's something weird, you know?
Yeah, they have an intro version, and then they have a cut version.
They have an outro version, so it bumps right in there. Hulk Hogan's music doesn't start with, I am a real man. Like, that slow build at the beginning that works really well when you're waiting for him to come out of the curtain. Like, when he comes out, you gotta go, dun, dun, dun. Like, when he gets the pin, one, two, three, ding, 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 bum, bum, bum. Or
the intro needs to serve a purpose.
Right. The intro needs to be the intro, and then that's it. Right?
Yeah.
Matt Hardy's music slaps. I could slam a tornado, not the build-up loading screen to his Windows Media Player gimmick, right?
I would love it if that happened.
Really, well, it would be great if it did that. It was a replay from the match, and then it was a Matt fact about the match that he just had. You know? I mean, a lot of prep. But anyways, outside the box of that, where are we going about that?
But we're going intricacies of production.
Back to promos, though. But something like that, and this is something I did several times at that IWC show, and it's a little work on. I mean, this is all a lot of people doing this you know, not with the assets that should be available, you know, to a lot of people doing this, trying to make something feel bigger with what they have on hand. I think IWC does a really good job at that, you know. I think VOW does a really good job at that, right? You see on the video you've talked about, you know, and how that looks and everything. And we show stuff from IWC tonight, you know, a little bit from VOW. I think that's when you're doing it right, when you're taking that little bit and, like, making it. It's like, okay, you know, it's not WWE, no, but it doesn't look like a crappy indie, you know, as much as it could. Especially, you know, covering up, you know, this is not a gymnasium, you know.
It's a little thing. It's the things that if in the end of the day you could be like, well, if we didn't use this, it's not going to, you know.
Okay, apparently.
It's not the end of the day. Will says, the end of the world.
Will says 32 seconds into the intro to the music.
Yeah, wow. 32. 20, like, if it can't be more than like
no, it can't be more than like 10 seconds. 10 seconds is an eternity. But then we go to the promos, like, so, like, again, I'm sitting there through those promos and those videos as we're playing them, right? And I feel like my mind, I'm gonna get in a little spatial thing. I feel like my mind production wise is on a little bit of a different speed than everybody else, as I'm just a spectator watching this thing sitting back, you know. And I feel like I got that at VOW watching them. Like, I get, like, okay, if I'm bored, the crowd's bored, you know? And so if I'm behind the switcher going, if I'm bored, the crowd is twice as bored.
Exactly.
Right? Because I feel like I'm going at a different speed. Is because I'm doing a lot of analyzing as I'm switching and doing the thing on screen and everything. There was a kind of intro promo they played. Super long. Should have ended. Thought it was going to end at one point. Didn't end. And it's probably only like a minute 30. It honestly was probably only about a minute 30. It was, I don't know. I want to call it out, but but it was, you know, you think about promos in WWE. I think the longest promo in WWE, other than that intro that we were ranting about on the show for Wrestling Mayhem Show today, is Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Because Bray Wyatt goes on. I think it's intriguing. I think some people are getting bored with it.
But I think his character kind of necessitates a longer promo.
It does. It does. And that's why I think. But even he's still not as long as some of these promos I see on the indies.
No.
He still isn't. Some of these guys. And I think it's really cool when we do the live backstage stuff. Like, Colin did a really good one going into his match with Tommy Dreamer, for instance. They did some fun stuff with Keith Hott and Dylan Bostick, I think his name is, with Ray Lynn, who was also at VOW. I'm loving this guy the more I see him, and I've now seen him at three different shows for three different groups. And everyone brings a little bit different, and I'm really digging on him. But how many times, and you've seen this, Eamon. Anyway, no, we've talked about this on the show. How many times have you gotten a promo from somebody that's like 4 minutes long?
I won't name names.
4 minutes long. There was.
I won't name names. I think you can go to, you know, find it if you find it.
I don't think there's a name in names. I think go look up indie wrestling promos, and it's most of them out there.
I'll just say this. I did get a promo once from somebody in preparation for a show that was 11 minutes. That's too much.
One person talking about a match for 11 minutes.
That,
think about that. And was there anything else? There was a guy in front of a camera.
In front of the camera.
Doing nothing interesting but talking about the thing. There's one thing being a talker in this business. But, I mean, the first thing you're going to learn about if you go to NXT, is how to cut that down a little bit. How to talk for TV. How to make your
11-minute promo, that's a sixth of NXT's programming.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, right? And how much do they pack in there? There's a reason it feels like it's a great, fast show, you know? And versus Raw is like, well, let's just stretch this one out a little bit. You know, hey, maybe you have more luck on Raw with that, honestly. You know, everything's a quick hit. You know, this is an MTV generation, and there's talking, and then there's a monologue. You know,
right.
That's what you podcast for, guys. I thought for, I, you know what, and now I'm realizing how much I'm shooting myself in the foot there, because you realize I sit down and talk for 10 minutes every morning. Even more so, because I try to do these 2-minute things for a Mayhem show and Awesome Cast.
But it's so much different than a promo, I think.
It is. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't concern
the
myself.
The promo is to hype people. It's very much hype.
That's the other thing. Does this thing get me interested? Did I watch your 11-minute promo, man, and damn, I'm buying that DVD. Damn, I'm buying a ticket to that show. I gotta see that, you know? I think that's lost on people. And I think that's a lot of times in this, you know, I saw the same thing in rap music when we did a show, you know, with some of these groups around here. Are they seeing the forest from the trees? Like they're worrying about this, like, I'm about this promo, we're going to talk this, I'm going to get all these details and all of this stuff. It was like, yeah, man, but why do I care? You know, I'm not a guy that watches your thing and knows the complete history of, let's see, random wrestler that's only works in Pittsburgh. Yeah. You know, I
look at it from my point of view. My job is to, a lot of times in the opening of a match, deliver the story fast for people that have never watched the show before, mm-hmm. and tell them what's going on and do it succinctly and quickly enough to where we can get into the match and they can focus. And you know, it's not easy. It is absolutely not easy. But it takes time and it takes work, you know, put in to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Certainly. You know, I mean, okay, take a look, or take a look at some of the pros. I'm just kind of thumbing through this stuff here, and I see VOW has a 2-minute, not even 2-minute talk of Rhino talking about his match with Shane Douglas. So presumably this was upcoming or something. With actually, this was for the 2015 Rumble party that they had, which I heard was great. We talked about that's where Facade took on. Actually, even this, I'm looking at this. There's transitions.
There's no need. That's the thing. There's no need for, you know, Rhino to cut a 5-minute promo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who Rhino is. You know who Shane Douglas is, assumedly.
And I've worked with. I did promos with Prime Wrestling, and again, it's one of those like, hey, don't do a long promo. This is TV. Right.
Yeah.
I got to work with Rhino on that. I got to work with Facade on that. And it was a lot of you were at that venue for Resolution. It was and, you know, that's like you see the big train bridge kind of right up behind there. I took some cool pictures on Instagram that year when I went down for that. And we had fun to make everything look different. Right. Yeah. Make everything visually interesting. Make sure everything's short and concise. You know, I wrote it was a minute. The longest thing I think I recorded. There was this big, long thing that happened, but it was so good and so emotional. And it was two people involved, and I'm sure you can find it somewhere on YouTube. A great thing between Gregory Iron and Zach Gowen, where Irons is being, I think, interviewed, if I recall, and is talking about his relationship with Zach and what that meant to him. And then you look, and there's Zach kind of looking over him on these stairs that kind of went above where he was sitting, and he just happened to be there overhearing, and he just runs him down, and he's the biggest bully, and it was compelling, you know. But again, you know, somebody, you know, that's been in the game for a while that knew exactly what he's doing, you know.
Exactly.
Hell, he worked with the best, very literally, you know. There's a reason he loves coming on the video game show, because we don't ask him how Hulk Hogan is. But you know, I mean, that's side of that. Look at, if you watch back your own promos, try to look at it objectively. Think about that line. Think about retention, right?
Yeah.
Big thing I'm doing with YouTube is retention. These videos, these long videos. I know nobody watches an hour video that we do here on YouTube.
No.
Right? I know that. I know the numbers are low. They're what they are. But they're doing it on the podcast. And I know they are. They'll listen longer than they'll watch us talking heads do this thing. And that's why we're doing little things. And I'm kind of thinking of those shows, those daily shows, like a promo, right? I'm only the second week into it. But I'm trying to kind of restructure that and think around that. And in that case, you know, I'm not trying to sell put your butts in seats, make you buy the DVD. I'm trying to get you like, wow, that was really, you know, well, hey, they're cool. I got a news item. I'm kind of getting into podcast talk here, I know. But I mean,
it's almost, I mean, it's kind of, I know I said before, promo stuff's different, but
yeah,
there's stuff you can learn from the
presentations. The presentation's still presentation, you know. You gotta,
yeah,
I mean,
lot of basic principles.
What are your talking points, you know?
Yeah.
But
there's basic principles that go into that work for a reason,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they work with all mediums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. That's my little rant. I don't know if it made sense, but or whatever you think of that. If you have any thoughts on that, I mean, we do have, the lines are open, 412-206-WMS0.
And your time's arrested.
Oh, yeah, we got a good one. We got Wheels is telling me you got a promo from somebody for Fury. Perfect. 53 seconds.
Perfect.
Perfect.
In and out.
Perfect. In and out. That's it. GoodTimesWrestlingMayhemShow.com if you have any thoughts on this topic.
Let us know
as well.
What you think on the topic. Honestly, email us. And
yeah.
Figure out what you guys think. What do you like the longer promos? Do you prefer, are you with us and prefer short fixing?
It is a matter of taste. I'm sure there's some people that do dig that, but I think the masses, it's not going to work. You know, it's not going to work when you go to WWE, I tell you that much. And let's be honest, that's where everybody's most part aiming for, unless you're a Colt Cabana. But even that, you know, he knows how to do that. So, yeah, let us know. 412-206-WMS0 for the hotline. GoodTimesWrestlingMayhemShow.com. And again, if you're seriously, and you know, I know some people that think this, you know, if you're a fan or if you're even a wrestler, you know, that have your opinion on it, think we're full of shit, let us know. You know, I'm curious.
tell us we don't know what the fuck we're
talking
really, about.
I've had some great conversations with a lot of the wrestlers about stuff like that. It's really cool to get their view on stuff as a wrestler, you know, versus me. And, you know, even though I'm in production, I consider myself a fan. I mean, let's be honest. I'm die hard as hell if I'm doing this shit. But, but you know, I in my mind, I'm still a fan, just very fortunate to be working around the people that I do. And I try to be humble in that as much as I can, but I have my opinions because I'm a fan after all, and this is the internet and we're allowed to. Anyways, Vicious Outcast Wrestling this past weekend, again, I do want to mention a little bit more. They, you know, fantastic. Well, there's their YouTube that used to be. This is actually footage from our last show. No, that's Rhino. I lost the video. It's late. But again, yo, love the production. Really cool seeing it in person. I'm sitting there and I'm like, why is the entrance so far away from the ring? Then I looked, I was like, oh, it looks better on the video. And it does. Actually, it does. Completely. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun. That crowd is insane. You know, not quite as insane as RWA, but, you know, definitely very, very interesting. And such a great group of talent. I got to see kind of a friend of the show dream match in G Raver versus Facade. My wife went with me, wife of the show. So one interesting thing that happens is that we're very familiar with a lot of the roster of VOW between the people we've worked with RWA, mm-hmm. with IWC. It's a mix of that. And even guys that actually, like, guys in IWC are just in a different mix, right? And we talked to, and actually, you know, guys, we talked to on the show. I think Aiden Vale and his Evale character as part of the Generation Dead congregation group that's formed there, teaming with Gory against the tag team champions. Wrap your heads around this: Andrew Palace and Chess Flexor.
Oh wow!
Which call themselves, was it Flex Palace? I think it was. You know, that seeing that configuration of people she was so familiar with, she just started laughing because she's like, "This is breaking me." You know, I think it's kind of like I think in her mind, and I think this a little bit too, it's kind of like, well, I've watched, what's a good example? I've watched Barry Darso be smashed for so long in WWF, and now he's the Blacktop Bully. But I kind of recognize him in WCW. Is that it, or Repo Man?
No, yeah, I got that. You.
I mean, that's kind of a out there kind of thing, but he's like, he's this here now, I go across the street to this and he's that, you know. Mark Mero, Johnny B. Bad, there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, something like that, you know, or
he was an effeminate dude and now he's a boxer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like this, you know, that's, it was just more that configuration. The biggest thing was Aiden Vale as Evale. We had a lot of fun with that, so anyways. But no, great show. Like I said, I mentioned the scaffolding situation on the Wrestling Mayhem show. They're having a scaffolding match. And again, I mentioned on that, they had a Prince of Darkness match. And Messi kept going and was like, wait, are they really doing, what is a Prince of Darkness match? And this is a show, and I remember talking to the booker before, and I was just like, you know, one of the first shows, I'm like, dude, you got a lot of gimmicks. Like three-way casket match, like you know, and stuff like they made up stuff. They had to have made up laws. May have heard a good idea somewhere. We Matt Tremont, when he was on the show, they were going to have that like barbed wire lattice match, you know.
Oh, yeah,
and we showed like the illustration of what they did. You know, I mean, they're doing creative things, different things that nobody else is doing. I think that's really smart of them. And again, they're doing a scaffold match. To me, is like, is that in this venue? Because I was a little confused on what dates were what coming up. I know they're doing one in West Virginia, which is cool. They're getting out of like just there in Connellsville, and they did like the rumble thing up north of the city too, right? And yeah, I talked with a lot of guys in charge over there, doing a lot of really cool stuff. I think they got a really good head on their shoulders about you know, where they're at and where they're going and what's working and not working, and you know, and they definitely I feel stick their neck out there trying stuff. You know,
right.
They've settled into a look and feel, certainly, since the summer, at the right spot. They're doing local TV on the local cable access. So there's two places doing TV in the area, which is, that's really cool to see. You know, I mean, it's not someplace I'm targeting for the products I'm working with. I'm glad to see it, you know, good for them, you know. And the stuff looks good, you know. Even the guys, I might mention here locally on this show, I vocally ran down PWX when they were first on TV because I thought it looked like crap, but they got better, you know.
Right.
We did have that conversation last week about production value and thinking about that. So we should do a seminar on starting a wrestling promotion.
Oh,
you know,
Jesus.
like not well. Just you and me, like let's actually get a promoter involved that's actually done the what I consider the hardest freaking work out there, other than the guys
Absolutely.
Taking bumps, as far as the business side of things. But like, we should just do like, this is how you should start it. Don't do X, Y, and Z. Just trust us on this, you know.
Exactly.
But anyways, it'd be awesome. I want to do that. I want to do like a PodCamp Pittsburgh for wrestling promoters, you know. But the problem is, since they're aspiring wrestling promoters, they're not going to have money to do anything, to travel anywhere, do anything, anyways. So, anyways,
yeah.
I don't know. I've said enough. What else is going on indie wrestling? Give me a happy note, Eamon.
There's a happy note stuff for me at least, and stuff going on in our area in Texas. We do have an Inspire Pro Wrestling show this weekend, which I'm very excited about. Our Undeniable event, which is this Sunday, February 15th. A lot of big stuff on that card. A big main event of a six-man tag team match of Dirty Andy Dalton, Davey Vega and Tim Storm against Franco D'Angelo, Matthew Palmer, and Ray Rowe, making his big return to professional wrestling after
nice.
His motorcycle accident back in August. And that's going to be, I think, absolutely killer.
Is that the first show he's doing back?
It's actually his second. This is his first weekend back.
Okay.
He'll be wrestling at a show on Friday, I believe, in Dallas.
Okay.
For a company called VIP Wrestling.
See, he's on an upcoming AIW show too, like on the
Dude. He is. I think that's 2 weeks.
Okay.
Or maybe more.
The Dude's on
but
TV.
Yeah, he's getting back in the swing of things, and then I'm excited because he's been doing some really cool, you know, he's you know, been amazing for so long, and you know, that motorcycle accident, especially since he, you know, started with Ring of Honor and stuff like that, like it couldn't have happened, I don't think, at a worse time.
This is, and I don't know, it's just because of where I'm at with indie wrestling and what I know and don't know. Like, there's a lot of names I don't know on here. I'll be completely honest, you know.
No,
but there's a lot of names I, of course, know from being on the show, hearing you talk about them all the time. And if you talk them up, they got to be good, because I know what your opinions are on quality of wrestling. But you guys got guys like ACH. You got guys, girls like Leva Bates, or I would know as Blue Pants. Are you allowed to put Blue Pants on a flyer?
We kind of advertise, like when we promoted it, using her photo.
You used the photo on Twitter, I know, saying, hey, remember her? Yeah, she's this chick, and we're having her here. I mean,
yeah,
that's smart. I mean, that's completely, you need to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought, you know, IWC's recent stuff was brilliantly timed. They announced Kevin Nash at Meadville when he showed up at Raw Reunion a few weeks ago. I was like, jeez, man, you can't get any better than that, right?
So. Exactly. It's really funny how some of that stuff works. Mm-hmm. We also got a lot of women's wrestling on that card. Four matches in total of women's wrestling, which is about half the card, which is kind of something we try to go for. Is, you know,
you have as much wrestling on this card with women as there are in this area this month.
Definitely. Absolutely.
And typically that involves like the same six girls.
Yeah.
Which I'm impressed that we're up to six girls in the area.
That's good, though. That's
amazing.
Good.
Great.
Because I think women wrestlers sometimes in certain areas become, you're a women's wrestler and you fill a certain quota.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's like affirmative action for indie shows.
Exactly. You have to have at least one.
You got to at least have one flippy guy. You got to at least have one guy that maybe shouldn't be in there because he's too big and not in the way you're thinking. You got to have at least two ladies. Whether they can wrestle is questionable. Somebody who thinks he's a luchador, and even though he's a white guy in a mask, doesn't matter. He can be Japanese too. It doesn't matter.
You at least have to have a battle royal.
Yes, yes. Why are the fake Japanese and luchador guys like almost always gingers, I'm finding?
Really?
Like, I think El Generico started a trend. I'm sorry, I'm going off. It's late, and I don't even
most know. Likely.
My filter's off at this time. This is probably the most interesting show, or the most not interesting show that we do all night because of my lack of tired filter. Look, I'm wearing a tie because we're incorporated. That happened today, and this is where we're at.
I love it. I love it so much.
It's official. I have a binder.
Yes, indeed. We actually have a lot of really cool talents on that card. Leva Bates, as you mentioned, Blue Pants from NXT. We're also bringing in Nicole Savoy from California, who's making some waves, going up against Athena. Vanessa Craven from Canada, who is awesome and 6 feet tall and amazing. So we're really glad to have her down. Mr. Touchdown from Chikara is coming down to wrestle Steve Areno, friend of the Indie Mayhem show, for the J Crown Championship. And there's a lot of cool stuff happening. So if you want more information, you can go to inspireprowrestling.com. General admission tickets are still on sale. We have sold out of the front row, but you can still pick up GA tickets. I would suggest ordering them ahead of time if you want to make sure that you don't get shut out, because we have had ridiculous lines as of late. We're actually opening doors 15 minutes earlier this time around to ensure that we get people in at a reasonable time. Which I'm happy about. Last thing is that as of today, actually, you can officially pick up our latest Inspire Pro Home Video event, Battle Wars, which was our show that we did with the guys from Chikara Pro. It's available on Smart Video in various formats. It's also available on Amazon. If you search that, it's through Create Space. Yeah, that is undoubtedly one of my favorite shows I've ever been a part of. The talent on top to bottom is amazing. Everyone really stepped up their game and gave some really amazing performances. And it's the proudest we've ever felt, from a wrestling show. And it was our biggest crowd up to that point. So I hope people buy it. And I hope people enjoy it. Go to SmartMarkVideo and SMVOD.com to check it out.
It's a great group of talent. I can't see why anybody who listens to the show would not enjoy it. Anyways, also in this area, we do have a little bit of pro wrestling going on. Black Diamond Pro Wrestling. These guys are doing so much. There's so much content on their site. We talked about that before, but they got a show coming up this weekend that I don't have queued up. I just saw there was a show and clicked the link because I thought it was cool. Honestly, I think this is it. But it's going to be coming up February 13th, Brilliant, Ohio. Check it out. Chris LaRusso, who's been popping up on Ring of Honor lately. What else we got on here? Some other familiar names. Matt Kennard, I've seen around. Jay Flash has been doing some cool stuff. And he's made some kind of jobby appearances on TV, actually. So a really cool group down there. You know, again, a lot of guys that we see all around this area as well. But strangely, not on this show. I'm usually like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Doing a lot of cool. Oh, they also have a show in Martins Ferry, Ohio, February 14th. A lot of these coming up on their YouTube. Sometimes they're doing free live streaming. Check out BlackDiamondWrestling.com For more on that, details on that. Brian Bowers is part of this. He's Lance Storm trainee that we've had in IWC a good bit. A really cool kid, a really good wrestler. Only like four matches in, he was impressing the hell out of me. It's amazing. Andrew Palace is on this one, as well as, I saw another name. I'm so sorry. So go check it out, blackdiamondwrestling.com. So, yeah, that's all I got, Eamon. Are we
done?
That's
all I got.
That's all you done? Check out the Instagram. Sting showed up in the studio just to point at you.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so go check that out. So with that, hey, thanks for joining us again. Let us know any of your thoughts. Let us know if we pissed you off.
Yeah, email us the thoughts on your thoughts on our discussion in that. Or tell us what's your favorite indie wrestling promo you've seen.
Exactly. Or what is some indie wrestling we should be talking about? 412-206-WMS0. goodtimes@wrestlingmayhemshow.com. Check us out, wrestlingmayhemshow.com, to subscribe to this and other great, great shows that we're doing on this Sorgatron Media Incorporated network. Do I have to say that officially now? I have to talk to my counsel. What else do we do here? Oh, check out basicsickness.com for the intro outro music. Great free music from Pittsburgh, supporting the show. Always been a big supporter. I used to play music with the guy. He's an awesome dude, still out there kicking. God bless him. At Mayhem Show on the Twitter and all the other stuff. Join us live wrestlingmayhemshow.com around about 11 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll get started eventually on the interview, whatever we got lined up for the week. Or you can find us fumbling or finishing off the Wrestling Mayhem Show, whatever that case may be. We have a loose schedule, more or less. Just join us all evening. It's a lot of good stuff here. Eamon at Eamon2Please, inspirepro.com. Right? Did I get it right? Yeah.
You did. I muted myself for a second. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, you got it right.
Okay. And, of course, check out all the other stuff, sorgatronmedia.com. Great, fun, Yik Yak Valentine's video going on right there.
I love that Yik Yak video.
Really?
I love it so much.
ProWrestling.com, IndieWrestling.us. And we'll see you guys next week. Make sure you are supporting your independent, professional wrestling of a nation. Never said I was a gangster or thug, but I'm an animal. Peanut for the taste of the poor. Sick, 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 you know how I act now. You got a problem, come and see if I'm a back down. Wow. Joe is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at sorgatronmedia.com. Do you like professional wrestling? Want your discussions no holds barred? Check out WrestlingMayhemShow.com for all the wrestling podcast flavor you can handle.